Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the remainder of this year while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return December 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God will be released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. We are more than conquerors in all things through Jesus. Amen. Today I will be starting a new teaching titled The Fruit of the Born-Again Spirit. This teaching will be an in-depth study of the book of Galatians, Chapter 5. The Holy Bible gave me this teaching in response to all of the negative and abusive rhetoric and confrontations we experience and read about daily. People in general are operating by their ungodly thoughts and emotions and lashing out at others for no apparent reason. Satan has persuaded these individuals to act out their aggression on the innocent and those weaker than themselves. Rarely do we hear reported on the news about individuals who have demonstrated acts of kindness or compassion on behalf of others. Listeners, there are hurting people all over the world and in our very own communities and families because they are living under the influence of the lies of Satan. Christians have the answer, and the truth is found in Jesus. We are the light of the world, and we of all people should be able to demonstrate the perfect love of God to others. Satan and his evil assignments cannot prevail when God's people live according to the Holy Bible. In Jesus, we got the victory over all of Satan's lies and attacks. However, it is the responsibility of each individual, Christians, to grow in the attributes and character of our Savior. If we want to enjoy peace of mind and prosperity, spirit, soul, and body. If you are interested in being a living epistle of Jesus Christ and growing in faith, growing in love, growing in joy, growing in peace, growing in patience, growing in kindness, growing in goodness, growing in faithfulness, growing in gentleness, and growing in self-control, please join me every Wednesday morning to study the fruit of the born-again spirit. We will be reading chapter 5 of the book of Galatians, written by Apostle Paul to the churches in Galatia. One of the reasons for writing this letter to the Christians in that region was to admonish them to put aside the Old Testament law and embrace their freedom in Jesus Christ. Paul emphasized that Christ died for all people and not just for the Jews. More importantly, everyone's freedom is based on the work of our Savior and Lord, not the law or old covenant. Therefore, he warned the converted Jews not to practice the law and their religious traditions, including circumcision, any longer. Because the law did not permit its followers to pick and choose which commandments to follow, a person under the Old Testament law was required to do all of the law to be accounted righteous. The book of Galatians records that the converted Jews were trying to force the Gentile believers to get circumcised to become a Christian. This requirement was not from God. We know from the Holy Scriptures that our salvation is based solely on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Anyone who believes and calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. Circumcision is not a prerequisite for salvation. Although we will not be reading the entire book of Galatians, I do encourage you to do so in your own private time. Our major focus of this study will be chapter 5, with regards to the fruit of the born-again spirit. Just like when we were saved, we received the measure of faith, we also received all of the attributes and characteristics of our Heavenly Father in our born-again spirit in seed form. That's seed, S-E-E-D form. Therefore, it is up to us individually to develop and grow in faith, to grow in love, to grow in joy, to grow in peace, to grow in patience, to grow in kindness, to grow in goodness, to grow in faithfulness, to grow in gentleness, and to grow in self-control. I would like us to read a supporting biblical passage for this statement. Please go to the book of 2 Peter. For today's lesson, I will be quoting out of the New King James Bible, unless otherwise stated. 2 Peter chapter 1, we will be reading verses 1 through 10. Again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in other words, listeners, Peter is talking or addressing this letter to us Christians. Verse number 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Again, take note that the more we know about God's word, the greater grace and peace we will be able to live under. Verse number 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, not death and destruction. Again, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, Jesus, who called us by glory and virtue. Verse number 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. Again, notice, listener, that we have already escaped in Jesus, not going to escape. We have escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse number 5. But also for this reason, giving all diligence. Now, the word diligence means faithful application to one's work. Keep that in mind. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. Perseverance means patience. To perseverance or patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. and to brotherly kindness, love. Verse number 8. For if these things are yours and abound, abound means in great number, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren, meaning useless, or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Notice, Christians, we do not have to operate in hate, lust, or perversion. We have been set free and cleansed from this sinful nature. Verse number 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, and these things are adding faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, brotherly kindness, and love, you will never stumble. Now, I love this word stumble because, listener, they're not even talking about falling down or sliding back into sin, but not even stumble in your walk in Christ. So that is good news, family, for every believer. Family, this is where God wants his children living in his blessed and abundant life. And it is possible if we choose to grow in his attributes and character. We are going to have to make up our minds and hearts to let go of all the evil thinking and false religious traditions that have been holding us back from growing in Jesus. All of us came to Christ with a lot of stinking thinking, baggage from our sinful nature. But praise our Savior and Lord, we have been redeemed from the sinful nature, and we are now new creatures in Christ. We must choose to grow in the goodness of Jesus, and we know it is possible because God said so in his word. That is truth. Family, I'm warning you from the beginning of this teaching that traditionally, Galatians chapter 5 has been taught by the church that man's spirit is warring against the Holy Spirit. But the truth of the matter is that this contest is no contest at all. Our spirit has no chance of victory over the Holy Spirit. The spiritual war we experience after we are saved is our soul and flesh warring against our recreated spirit, all instigated by Satan to keep us from growing strong in Jesus. You will see this concept more clearly once we get into the teaching regarding chapter 5. However, in short, fruit requires growth and development. Fruit is not perfect, but has the potential of becoming perfect. In the natural, the fruit of a fruit tree must be nurtured and given time to develop into a perfect piece of fruit for consumption. A perfect piece of fruit is not only good to the eye and taste, but when consumed, provides our body with crucial nutrients to keep us healthy. On the other hand, the Holy Spirit is perfect, just like God, because he is the third person of the Godhead. He is not growing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit is these attributes and more. Now I want to establish this truth based on God's holy word. So let's read scripture that tells us who God is, who Jesus is, and who is the Holy Spirit. The three in one. Let's start with God is love. Please turn to 1 John chapter 4. We will be reading verses 7 and 8. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 say, Beloved, Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. He's not going to grow into love. He is love. Let's continue with God is joy. We're looking at the attributes of our Heavenly Father, the living God, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is joy. Please turn to John chapter 15, verse 11. John 15:11, spoken by Jesus, says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Again, God is joy. Let's continue with God is peace. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6 is one of the prophecies of Jesus the Christ, and it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. God is peace. Let's continue with God is patient, long-suffering. Please turn to the book of Psalm, verse 86, verse 15. Psalm 86, 15 says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth." Our living God, our Heavenly Father, is compassionate, gracious, long-suffering, merciful, and truth. Let's go on to the next attribute. God is kind. Please turn to the book of Titus, chapter 3. We'll read verses 4 and 6. Titus 3, 4 and 6 say, "But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus the Christ, our Savior." Again, God is kind. He is love. He is merciful. And he has saved us. The next attribute we will examine is God is good. God is good. Please turn to the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 18. Mark 10, 18 says, "So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God.'" God is good. Let's continue with God is faithful. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 9 says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." God is faithful. The next attribute that we will examine is God is gentle. Please turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. We will be reading verses 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, meek in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God is gentle. The next attribute we will study is God is self-control. God is self-control. Please turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. We will be reading verses 11 through 12. Titus 2, 11 through 12 say, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly," in other words, self-restraint, "righteously and godly in the present age." Again, God is self-control, self-restraint. Let's read the book of Galatians chapter 5 from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible before examining the chapter verse by verse. Again, I will be reading from the Holy Spirit Encounter Bible, chapter 5, starting with verse number 1. "So Christ has really set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ cannot help you." Verse number 3. "I'll say it again. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey all of the regulations in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly await to receive everything promised to us who are right with God through faith. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, it makes no difference to God whether we are circumcised or not circumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. You were getting along so well. Who has interfered with you to hold you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for He is the one who called you to freedom. But it takes only one wrong person among you to infect all the others. A little yeast spreads quickly through the whole batch of dough. I am trusting the Lord to bring you back to believing as I do about these things. God will judge that person, whoever it is, who has been troubling and confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why would the Jews persecute me? The fact that I am still being persecuted proves that I am still preaching salvation through the cross of Christ alone. I only wish that these troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. For you have been called to live in freedom, not freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if instead of showing love among yourselves, you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Verse 16, "So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, self-ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sin. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. Family, I'm out of time. Please return next week as we continue our study on the fruit of the born-again spirit. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.